You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, February 22nd, as we come to you from our flagship AM studio tonight in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online to a global audience at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Great to have you with myself and Keith Alexander. Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be in a little later this evening. And folks, no dillying, no dallying tonight in the cesspool. We've got more news to jam into these first 2 hours while Keith is in my company than we could possibly cover in that many weeks, but we're going to do our best. I want to get off the ground tonight with just a quick hit, an update, I guess you would say, on an interview that we had last year. People will remember the Anthony Weiner Wienergate scandal, I guess is what they were calling it, when the former congressman was running for mayor of New York City. His paramour, Sidney Leathers, during the height of her 15 minutes of fame, made an appearance on the Political Cesspool. I believe that was back in August of last summer. She appeared on our show in between stints with Howard Stern and Sean Hannity. She was making the rounds. This was one of the stops. Well, of course, everyone else, including the supposedly conservative Hannity, was talking to her about nothing but the salacious details of her cyber affair or sexual relations with Anthony Weiner. I asked her the question that I thought, I was oddly fascinated by this story, and I wanted to ask her, once she agreed to appear, the one question that no one else had, and that is, does she think that this is a good choice for her life? Does she think that the decisions she was making to cash in a sordid experience for a little bit of money and a little bit of notoriety, to parlay that into a pornographic career, is that a decision that she thinks she'll look back on when she's older and be proud of? Is that a decision that's going to lead her to have a happy life? And she responded, for anyone who listened to that interview, you'll know, by saying that she responded politely, but said that I was judgmental and that she was very happy, a very happy, liberated, and progressive woman, and that I was living in the past, and she knows exactly what she's doing, so on and so forth. Well, I'm going to toss it to Keith now, but I'll fast forward a mere 6 months later, and she has checked into rehab for, the story reads, deep depression, self-harming, and addiction to drugs. So, you know, we get no satisfaction, of course, Keith. This woman isn't a friend of ours or an acquaintance, but we don't want to see anyone, you know, go down that path, even if it is an outspoken and avowed liberal. No one deserves to live a life like that. We tried to at least plant a seed in her mind, and she said she was happy. 6 months later, I don't know if she'd answer the same way.
Yeah, I would really like to get in touch with her and see what she says about the questions that you asked her. You know, this is, unfortunately, a tale that's being replayed too often in modern society now. This is part and parcel of the so-called sexual revolution, which many people do not recognize it to be part of the triumph of liberalism, but it is as much a product or of the triumph of liberalism as the civil rights movement, as the homosexual rights movement, as environmentalism, as criminal rights revolution. All of these things, the drug culture and the sexual revolution, were part and parcel of it, intended to weaken the nuclear family, which is the foundation, the building block of all civilization. And the left has done a wonderful job. You've got people, young ladies like this Sidney Leathers, that have no sense of feminine modesty, which was the foundation for the nuclear family, for the institution of marriage, and for all of the blessings that those institutions have given to society. She is suffering what you call torment in theological terms now. There's a difference between torture and torment, as one of our posters said. Torture is pain inflicted upon you by other people. Torment is pain and discomfort that you inflict upon yourself by making moral choices apart from God and God's law. God's law would have prohibited her from doing what she did. God's law is there for a salutary purpose, to let us know right from wrong and to use that as a guide for decisions that we make with our lives. This young lady was totally unmoored from any sense of propriety or religion or Christianity. She had no idea. Basically, if she's one of these people that if she attended church at all, it never modified her behavior in the least. It was just something. She just loved the idea of a forgiving God who was going to forgive everything. I've heard young ladies like this before in the past make reference to the woman at the well and say, well, and I'm sure Sidney Leathers would have said this to James if she'd thought of it, but he who is without guilt cast the first stone. In my reply to people who use the woman in the well parable that way is to say, what were Jesus's last words to the woman at the well? He forgave her and then said, go forth and sin no more. He didn't say, go forth and sin some more, or you now have a get out of jail free card for all of your sin which you wish to pursue. That's the way too many people take it. The biblical story of the woman at the well leaves unanswered, what was her ultimate destination? Did she spend eternity in heaven or in hell? Well, if she did not follow Jesus' admonition, go forth and sin no more, sincerely repent, change her ways, more than likely she wound up in hell. And unfortunately, that's what's going to happen to Sidney Leathers unless she really gets right with God. You know, the rule is, or the imperative is that we get right with God, not that God get right with us. I noticed, for example, she's had breast augmentation surgery. Too bad she didn't have a good male father, role model, boyfriend, or let's say brother who would tell her what God has done with you is preferable to what man can do to you. So forget that breast augmentation surgery. Forget all the other things that women do to themselves nowadays in order to make themselves more attractive in a worldly way, and work on your spiritual development would be my advice to Sidney Leathers then and now.
Well, thank you, Brother Keith. Certainly, she bought into the progressive mantra that Christianity exists to be mocked, the progressive lie that conservatism is awash, that traditionalism is something, you know, that is not to be embraced by the modern generation. And unfortunately for her, the Christian way is the right way. Conservative thought is right thinking, and traditionalism is something that all of my generation and those younger than me should return to. And I think, well, we'll see where she goes, but it's a good case study. Folks, we got some good stuff coming up. We're just getting started as the first music break begins to play. Many, many, many more stories that Keith and I will cover between now and the end of the program. Stay tuned. We're going to toss it to Keith when we come back.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show. As I said, folks, it's a busy show tonight. And we're not going to be able to get to everything that I would like to cover, but thankfully our website is there as a secondary resource, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Go there tonight and read a few of the stories that would make for great topics of conversation this evening if we weren't so slammed. Choosing Limbo on Immigration, written by our friend Richard Spencer, is a featured article tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. There, too, you'll find Pat Buchanan's recent column, Is It the End of the Line for the Welfare State? Very interesting read. And also an article written by Pete Papaheracles, who interviewed Keith Alexander recently for an article in the American Free Press. He's followed up a great article featuring Keith with another piece titled Civil Rights Movement Needed for White People. So read those articles and more tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But I got one now that I just have to let Keith sink his teeth into. Oh, you want to make a final comment on the Sidney Leathers thing? All right, Keith's got one more thing to say about Leathers, and it's a good one.
Okay, folks, let's just, if Sidney Leathers is listening, let me remind her and anyone who might be suffering similar temptations to her of this. When I was a child back in the 50s and the 60s, there was a famous commercial. How do you spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S, Rolaids. That was an antacid tablet they had back then. I think they still have it, but it's not the biggest thing on the market the way it was in the 50s and 60s. I'd modify that for Sydney and people in her situation to say this. The will of God is not hidden. It's very obvious for anyone who peruses the Bible. If you can find a prayer in the Bible, you can find the will of God in the Bible. I would modify that old commercial to say, how does God spell love? Well, hint, it's a four-letter word. He spells it O-B-E-Y, obey my commandments, rules, and laws. Miss Leathers, there is no sexual activity that a human being can have outside of holy matrimony that is not a sin in the eyes of God. And you need to keep that in mind. There's no way that a pornographic actress can be within the will of God. And you need to understand that God's laws and rules are there for your protection. God is a loving father. His rules and laws are out there for the same reason that a caring parent would tell his or her child not to play on the freeway. Play on the freeway, it's dangerous, and you're liable to be killed. So consequently, God will not be mocked. You can't pretend to be a righteous, together person who lives within the will of God and do whatever you please. You've got to follow God's law, God's will. You seek God's will also prayerfully to know and to do His will, but His laws are right out there. All you have to do is read the Bible, and read the King James Bible, by the way, not something like the Sarah Young Devotional Bible. Read the real McCoy, okay? And you will find out exactly what you ought to do, what the boundary lines are, and what you shouldn't do. And if you do that, that's the secret to true happiness. The service of God, as they say in the Episcopal liturgy, is perfect freedom. In other words, if you want to be perfectly fulfilled, perfectly free as a human being, be a slave to the will of God.
We're going to have to change this guy's name from Keith Alexander the Great to just Reverend Alexander if he keeps going on like that. That's some good stuff here. That's the way we like it here in the political cesspool. Well, you asked a rhetorical question a moment ago, Keith. How do you spell love? Just don't ask any students at the University of California, Los Angeles, that question. Listen to what's going on here. Actually, Eddie the Bombardier Miller brought me this story last week, and we kept saying in the third hour that we would get to it, and we didn't. And Eddie's got he's jam-packed in tonight's third hour with the talking about economic-related issues. But here's the scoop. Correcting the poor grammar of black students is racist. Yes, even grammar can be racist, Keith. Here's what the article reads. It's hard to figure out what to make of the people in this story. Should they be laughed at or pitied? Here it is, folks. Listen up. Recently, a group of 25 self-described students of color held a sit-in to support poor English writing skills. A sit-in to support poor English writing skills, Keith. They whined about the racism being offered in the form of constructive criticism of their lack of grammar, spelling, and punctuation ability. So here you have college students. How do they get into college in the first place if they don't have a handle on basic elementary level grammar, spelling, and punctuation? As products of dysfunctional public schools, many, if not all of them, have little or no writing skill. Many of them don't know that they have no writing skills. They have been lied to and had their heads patted so often by liberal teachers that they can no longer recognize the truth about their own shortcomings. What can we honestly expect from students who have never been dealt with truthfully? What makes this situation more ridiculous is that the target of their protest was a professor of education and information at UCLA. Apparently, the poorly educated students who registered for this course expected more lies and head pats rather than actual instruction. Claiming to be aggrieved minority students, these spoiled brats prove that they haven't enough brains to realize the value of authentic education. And I know some college professors, Keith, and they tell me that now in university, in this day and age, you don't get your contract picked up for putting forth standards of excellence. They actually give a student survey at the end of each course, and your value as a member of the staff is evaluated based upon whether or not the students like you. And the only way to make the students like you is to not give them homework and to pass them through without very much challenge. Well, here you have it, Keith. This is what's going on. UCLA, a major American university, black students there cannot write, they cannot spell, they cannot punctuate. But it's not their fault. It's racist to assume that they should know how or would need to know how in order to pass college-level courses. This isn't first grade we're talking about.
And furthermore, it's racist to try to improve them. All education is about changing your mindset and opening your eyes to new possibilities in life. That's all there is to education. People that think they've already got it, that they need not be changed whatsoever because they're already perfect, they just want to be credentialed, basically have no place in school. And in the past, in America, when education was sound, people like that would have been shown the door at a school. Instead, today, they are the beneficiaries of affirmative action. They get into top colleges and universities like UCLA without any inkling of proper English usage or grammar, punctuation, syntax, spelling, any of these things. And furthermore, they're defiantly, boorishly adamant that it is racist. Their all-purpose challenge to anything that makes them uncomfortable to require them to conform to normal standards of English usage. This shows you, look, these people, it's like Grandma used to say, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, and you can dress them up, but you can't take them to town. These people are being passed through our educational system. They're credentialed. They get out with a diploma, which they use to beat some hapless employer or hapless hiring hall over the head with and say, see, I've got a bachelor's degree, I've got a master's degree, I've got a PhD. You've got to hire me because I have the credentials, even though you know this person is as dumb as a mud fence and couldn't pour piss out of a boot with the instructions printed on the heel. But this is what we are confronting now. This is basically like South Africa, where a black high school dropout outranks a white PhD that really knows his or her subject matter. This is where we're headed as a society because of this multicultural, multiracial nightmare that's been inflicted upon us by liberalism.
And it's racist. It's racist, though, to assume that all students should be tested based upon the same merit or standards. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Keith. We got to take a break, folks. We'll be back with more. We're going to go to Ole Miss, from UCLA to Ole Miss. What's happening at Ole Miss this week? Well, it's even more egregious than the story we just heard, if you can believe it.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Keith's got a few stories to bring to your attention in the second hour, but before we get to those, we're going to go to Keith's alma mater, the University of Mississippi, a.k.a. Ole Miss. Now, let me tell you what's going on down there, folks. An incident occurred this week, or I guess it was last week now. Basically, what happened, well, the newspapers, the national media, it's a national news story. They're calling it a racist attack on a statue. The James Meredith statue. They've got a statue of James Meredith down there, who was the first black guy that integrated Ole Miss. And apparently a noose was hung over the neck of his statue, as well as the Georgia state flag, the old Georgia state flag that featured the Confederate flag as part of its makeup, as the current Mississippi state flag still does. Anyway, so because a childish prank occurred, now, as you know, in 99% of these instances, it's a hate hoax, as we call it here. It's something done presumably by whites, and it almost invariably turns out to be blacks. But let's assume here, for argument's sake, that whites did this, that they, a couple of idiot kids went out and did a ill-advised prank after getting liquored up or something of the sort, and they put a noose on this statue. All right, you know, they should probably be punished. Maybe a couple of days suspension, community service there at the college or something like that. Fine. But this is a childish prank, keep in mind. The FBI is involved. The Federal Bureau of Investigation. There's a $25,000 reward out for information leading to the capture of the two pranksters. And it's, as I mentioned before, a national news story. FBI, $25,000, national news for a prank being waged against the James Meredith statue there. Now, for starters, the Ole Miss administration says that Ole Miss is a gathering place for students who discuss many things, including the tenets of our creed, which calls for dignity and respect for all people. Dignity and respect for all people. The Ole Miss administration, that's a lie from the pit of hell. They don't care about respect for all people. They've gone out of their way to remove any symbols of white culture that once had a home at the university that was founded by Confederate veterans. We talked about the hate hoax stuff, but let's get to this. Even if it turns out that a couple of white knuckleheads put that noose on the statue, does that really even qualify as vandalism? It's not like they took a sledgehammer to it or defaced it with red paint, which is exactly, pay attention, folks, this is exactly what happened to Nathan Bedford Forrest's statue here in Memphis last fall. And it wasn't just Nathan Bedford Forrest's statue, folks. It was his grave, his final resting place. It is a felony, a big-time crime to do what those people did to Nathan Bedford Forrest's statue. Now, this... you heard not a peep about it. It barely made local news. The political cesspool gave it its by far its biggest coverage. We sent Eddie down there to do a video. All right, the FBI wasn't involved. No money, was being offered for the information leading to the arrest of the people who desecrated his grave. And that's just another classic example of the media's astonishing hypocrisy when it comes time to cover stories with a racial angle in play. Again, don't get me wrong. It wasn't a good idea to monkey around with the Meredith statue. It's childish behavior. But no matter who was really responsible, whether it was a hate hoax or whether it was a couple of juveniles, FBI involvement is absurd. National media coverage is preposterous. $25,000 reward is just ridiculous. Especially, Keith, when you factor in the savage acts of black-on-white, racially motivated violence, 100 rapes a day, according to the Department of Justice statistics, at least 100 rapes a day, not counting murders. They occur every single day in this country. They get no media coverage whatsoever. We're talking about rapes, murders, knockout game victims. I mean, I'm talking about heinous, heinous crime where young blacks go in and rape 90-year-old white women and kill them. That is something, not a peep. You don't hear anything about that. No FBI involvement. You know, Attorney General Eric Holder is really letting you know where he believes the priorities lie. Is it within, rapes, murders, egregious crimes of that nature, or is it in a childish prank? Well, that's what the FBI gets involved in. And let me say one last thing about Meredith, and then it's all yours, Keith. This is James Meredith's own words. This is something, again, that they didn't put in the story. He claims that he was a civil rights hero who absolutely hates to talk about civil rights. He is a black man who rejects the term African American and a man who endorsed Jesse Helms and David Duke in various campaigns for governor and senator. So there's that.
And of course, they try to keep all of that covered up. You know, James Meredith was not a great exemplar of the civil rights movement. There's a recent book that's been written about him that kind of says that he was off the chain, as indicated by James's comment, at least from the leftist viewpoint. But he has been adopted by Ole Miss as their patron saint to the gods of political correctness. Now, you see what happens when you have a real hate crime in America, when people are killed, when people are raped, when people are tortured, like Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom. Basically, the silence is deafening. This is similar and consistent, for example, with illegal immigration. Why? How did I make that connection? Well, here's the connection. We have hate crime laws in America, which the authorities, the powers that be, i.e. Eric Holder and his racially biased U.S. Department of Justice, refuse to prosecute, which are serious, serious crimes motivated by race, which, according to the terms of the federal hate crime law, should be prosecuted. But our elites refuse to prosecute them. Instead, they prosecute the one-in-a-million situation where, for example, one white guy, just to see if they would enforce it, does the knockout game on a black guy. Well, the next thing you know, it's all over the papers. Likewise, here we have Nathan Bedford Forrest's statue and grave being desecrated. There was no reward offered to find out the miscreant that did that unless the Southern Poverty Law Center, or the ADL, put out a reward so they could make sure that the person that defaced the statue in the grave was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Okay. Now, on the other hand, what happened here at Ole Miss, a couple of hapless students went out and used poor judgment. You know, they're probably going to reinstitute the electric chair or the gas chamber to punish this crime. I'm sure the guy already, they've been kicked out of their fraternity because the craven people at the fraternity don't believe in all this brotherhood nonsense that you hear all about when you're in a fraternity and you're going through Rush and then you're going through the pledging process and then you're going through the initiation. All of that stuff, forget about it. Political correctness trumps all. We're going to throw anybody under the bus who is a member of our fraternity that transgresses political correctness. Now, you know, they would not allow lethal injection for these men, okay, that did this. That would be too kind. We need them to die and suffer according to the prevailing winds and currents and opinions about political correctness in America. These guys are being pilloried, they're being sacrificed, and meanwhile, real serious crime that results in bloodshed, death, rape, dishonor, things like that, that stuff is totally forgotten or totally ignored by our elites. We have an elite that hates us, hates white Gentiles, and anything that they can pin on a white Gentile that is negative to a non-white Gentile is the occasion for a hate crime. That's the real definition of a hate crime in America. Don't bother troubling your pretty little head about what the law says. In actuality and in practice, it is a punishment for white people, and it is never used to punish non-white people.
I'm looking again, Keith, at this. I went back to the September 16th blog roll at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'm looking at the vandalism, the pictures of the Nathan Bedford Forrest monument and grave after it was vandalized, desecrated. Not a peep. I mean, just comparing it to this, you know, a tasteless prank. Yes, it was. But, I mean, it wasn't like it was Meredith's grave. And it wasn't even, they didn't take a sledgehammer to it. The double standard. It's absolutely breathtaking. Well, and no one's talking about it. You know, no one's talking about it. And if it had turned out to be blacks who did that to the Meredith thing, you know, we've seen this 100 times in the past. We've covered it 100 times. They would say, well, it would be buried immediately. The FBI would be called off. The reward would be rescinded. The national news media would be deaf and dumb to it. The silence would be deafening. But no, if they did, they might say a passing word and they would say, well, you know what, they probably shouldn't have done it, but it, at least it serves as a teachable moment, because things like this really do happen sometimes, and we need to be prepared to know how to deal with it. And actually, the black person who did it has given us an opportunity to reflect upon a teachable moment. So we can talk more about white guilt, because we're not talking about that enough. Well, we got to take a break, folks. A lot more to come. Stay tuned.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations, or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry, easy to prepare by just adding water, easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is, you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. I want to tell you something that's going on with WorldNet Daily. And I'd like to welcome, actually, WorldNet Daily officially to the club now. They were denounced by Google, if you can believe it, of being practitioners of hate speech. I got an article written by the incomparable Colin Flaherty, who has been a guest on this show, who has done as much as anyone in print journalism to document black on white violence, particularly black mob violence. And he's got a new article there at WorldNet Daily here in recent days about how a black mob has terrorized a Victoria's Secret in Norfolk, Virginia. He writes that some were surprised to hear about the black mob violence on Valentine's Day at a Victoria's Secret store in Norfolk. Not the violence. That didn't surprise anyone. The Galleria at Military Circle, that's the name of the mall, has been the site of dozens of episodes of racial lawlessness over the past 2 years, most of which has gone underreported in the local newspaper. The surprise is that the mall is still open at all. Most of the major tenants are gone or leaving. Sears, JCPenney's, the nearby Doubletree, they're all closed. The big draw there is movie theater with cheap tickets. More than 25% of the space is vacant. The latest example of black mob violence at the mall came on Valentine's Day. A large group of people fought in the Victoria's Secret store. One guy pulled out a gun and shot someone else in the leg. In urban lingo, shooting someone in the leg is called leg warming. The group was fighting over someone else cooperating with police in a matter involving the selling of drugs and pit bull puppies. And it goes on from there. I got the footage for you, folks, of the incident there at the mall. We got Peter Scoop Stanton on, and we're going to let him talk as soon as Keith comments on this. You can watch the footage. It's it posted on February the 20th, so it has posted this week. I can't imagine, Keith, as I watch this footage, why white parents wouldn't want to enrich the lives of their children by subjecting them to what is such wonderful experiences of diversity. It's our greatest strength, after all.
I was really getting hyped up about this. I thought it was going to be another demonstration about the racism of a mainstream company, Victoria's Secret in this case, for not stocking enough plus-size gear at Victoria's Secret, you know, for black women. So
I did say it started over a pair of panties.
Okay, yeah. It probably the one of 48 XXX pair that they had in the store, Jay.
Keith may be more right than he knows. The article does say that the riot or brawl was instigated over what I mentioned. Somebody there saw someone else who had cooperated with police, and then there was another kerfuffle involving a pair of panties. So maybe that was the pair you were talking about, Keith. Anyway, I wanted to read that story first, and we're going to revisit what happened with WorldNet Daily being listed as a hate group or practitioners of hate speech in the second hour. We'll revisit it a little bit. But first, we got Peter Scoop Stanton, who has spent some time as a resident of the military city of Norfolk, and he can give us a little more information about that, I guess, about the mall there, Scoop. And I know you got some other things you want to talk about as well.
Yes, I do. Good evening, James. Good evening, Keith, and the rest of the full family.
Good evening.
Well, I was a former resident of the city of Norfolk, Virginia, and I am very familiar with the Military Circle Mall, but now they try to spice it up or make it look better by calling it the Galleria at Military Circle, which is like putting lipstick on a pig. The mall is in a great high-traffic area in terms of car traffic and passenger traffic. It intersects two major roadways in Hampton Road. It's right off interstate. However, if you go in the mall is half empty. The stores that do rent lease space there are mostly cell phone stores, gaudy jewelry stores where people can get what's known as grills or metal in their mouth, and urban clothing stores, baggy pants, and Sean John and whatever clothing line Jay-Z has, sneaker stores galore, so you can get sneakers and hats, and also hair weave establishments, so women of African descent can have nice long Korean locks.
There you go. That now, sounds about right.
Now, the food court in there is a food desert. The choices are few and far between. And there's also a barbershop there that is caters towards the military clientele. And after a while of going to the said barbershop, which I could get a decent, you know, military regulation haircut, and that looked like somebody just escaped from a mental institution, I decided that my wife should not go to Military Circle Mall unless I'm present. And then finally,
oh, sure.
I made the decision. I said, there's nothing here for me. I can get my haircut somewhere else. And so I no longer spent money at Military Circle Mall.
Well, there you have it. And we've seen that happen to how many malls here in Memphis, Keith? They've met the same fate when the same...
Mall of Murder.
The Mall of Memphis was renamed the Mall of Murder before diversity finally shut it down. We had the Hickory Ridge Mall shut down for similar reasons. Raleigh Springs Mall. Wolf Chase is going to go that way, too, eventually. But there's one more thing I know you wanted to talk about tonight, Scoop, and I want to preface it by saying this first. There is a Jewish comedian by the name of Ari Shaffir, A-R-I Shaffir, S-H-A-F-F-I-R. Now, he plays a character on YouTube, and I believe in a movie called Inappropriate Comedy by the name of The Amazing Racist. And what Ari Shaffir does is he poses as a white Gentile, doing various racially charged things on hidden camera, going after cheap laughs. Yes, as Keith mentioned, he goes into a black area of Los Angeles wearing a Ku Klux Klan outfit, and the results are predictable. He's met with urban language and threats, and, right. And you can understand that to an extent. The one that I'm going to feature on the website next week is he goes into a Jewish supermarket. Keep in mind he is a Jewish person. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to do these stunts at all, I'm sure. But he goes into a Jewish supermarket posing as a Catholic priest, and he's wearing the whatever they wear around their neck. I should know the name of that, but you know what it looks like. The clerical collar, correct. And he's got a petition asking the Jews to sign the petition apologizing for their role in the killing of Jesus Christ. And you can imagine the reactions he gets from the fellow Jewish shoppers there at the Jewish supermarket. Of course, they think he's a Catholic priest. And to be fair, historical fact, yes, Jews did, in fact, were responsible for the death of Christ. But those Jews in that particular supermarket had nothing to do with it. And they run him out on a rail. No one signs the petition. So he goes in as a Klansman, and he gets run out of town. He goes in as this priest asking them to sign the petition. He gets run out. Now, imagine if he had gone into a white area saying, I need you to sign this petition to apologize for your role in slavery. Now, not one white had ever owned a slave, but we know that a good percentage of them would have signed or even given money to such a cause. And Scoop, I know, to that end, it served as a good case study. It was tacky comedy, what this guy does. I mean, I guess some of it was gutter comedy, but some of it's a little humorous, I guess. But the thing is, it made me think and reflect. I did a little Simon and Garfunkel introspection. And, you know, every other ethnic group bears no responsibility for the sins of their past. Exactly. But white people do. And I know you have something to talk about with regards to reparations. What do you have, a story for us regarding reparations, Scoop?
Okay, well, this is on my blog, americanscoop.blogspot.com. Once in a great while, I'll post something, but because the rest of the time I'm trying to do stuff for the cesspool. I'm talking about reparations. This idea came from Michael Savage talking about people from the Jamaica and the Caribbean is going to sue the United Kingdom and the Netherlands for reparations. And America tried to, black Americans tried to sue for reparations, but Supreme Court knocked it down, and there's absolutely no slave owners or former slaves alive today. But I say, let's pay reparations. Now, from 1776 to 1863, we had 87 years of slavery that was allowed. So let's give $1 billion per year for slavery. That's $87 billion. Now, over 86 years, the Ku Klux Klan allegedly lynched 3,000 plus people. Now, let's round the number up to 5,000 people that are victims of slavery and all the bad things white people did to blacks. So that's another $500 million. So 87 and $500 million. But now I say we must have reparations for white people by black people. Since 1964, the Civil Rights Act, black people have been running roughshod over white people. Now, I have some legitimate statistics. There are more than 1,600 white people are murdered by blacks. Blacks are 18 times more likely to murder whites. 90% of race crimes were by blacks against whites. There are over 200,000 black-on-white rapes and fewer than 100 white-on-black rapes. And it doesn't stop there. Factor in people buying security systems through those stupid ADT commercials where it's white people breaking in the house, even though that's absolute fallacy. Small businesses in the black neighborhoods have joined the Plexiglass Nation, including banks. In downtown Baltimore, there's a Subway sandwich shop that has plexiglass between you and your sandwich maker. The list goes on and on. Affirmative action in terms of scholarships, hiring, promotion, job placements, and even college placements.
Scoop, we got about 30 seconds left.
War on poverty.
Scoop, tell us how much.
The war on poverty, which includes aid to family dependent children, WIC, Section 8, the housing projects, which is prisons without walls, food stamps, Medicaid, Head Start.
How much do they owe us? How much do they owe us in reparations, Scoop? Give us the number.
Okay. Now, I got to make this real quick.
We might have to come back with the number at the top of the next segment.
All right.
Wait, he's going to mail in the number after this, folks. Stay tuned.